This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been speaking to author Dr. Lori Holmans this morning about helping children with anxiety. So it really is a family issue to take care of, whether it escalates or you bring it down to a nice level with your five steps. Do you bring the whole family into the practice so older siblings and younger siblings can all kind of get a handle on the same strategy?
It really depends on the family and the situation. Teenagers sometimes don't want you to see anyone else because it's their private space, and so I respect that. But I see parents about once a month in that case, not the siblings, but the parents, so the parents can learn. Once in a while, I do see siblings because the anxiety is rampant throughout the family. If the mother, for example, is very anxious herself, there's a kind of contagion to it. So anxious mother, anxious child.
Right. And so when there are panic attacks or OCD or separation anxiety, which is really deep set in the generations in the family, can you turn it around without medication, just through talk therapy?
You can with talk therapy. Medication is wonderful, I must admit, for some kids with panic attacks. Teenagers that I've seen who then go off to college, I talk to them once they're at college as well, and for some kids, a certain kind of medication totally stops the panic attack, and is really a lifesaver. But it's, the problem with medication is the first medication doesn't always work, and you have to go through a process of finding it. There are lucky kids who the right medication is the first one tried, and within 6 weeks, they're really feeling so much better. But that's not ordinary. Usually, it takes a while to find the right medication for the right child. Yeah, it's a trial and error, which is unfortunate.
Without using names, can you tell us about some of your shining stars that have worked with these five steps?
Sure. I can think of one family where I did see two children. Both I saw in early high school, and then when they went off to college, I continued to see them. And both of them eventually did take Zoloft, and it seemed to be the mother took Zoloft also. So it really seemed to be within the family that this medication really relaxed them. But their everyday problems, their social anxiety, they needed to talk about, but the panic attacks stopped. So that was a great relief for them.
Mm-hmm. So the breathing into the hands, is there any other like quick tips before you even use talk therapy when people are very, very anxious?
Yes. Sometimes I tell kids or I tell the parents to tell the kids to anxiety is very internally focused. You're scared of what your body is doing, and so it frightens you. So it's good to look outside yourself. So I say if you're in your room, look, it sounds a little silly, but look at your lamp, look at your desk, look at your homework. I don't mean do your homework, but look at it.
Right.
And it will take your mind from inside to outside. You want to externalize the person so that they start seeing reality a little bit better, and that tends to calm them down. Or to do something that's very, they're really used to, like if they... listen to a certain kind of music, put the music on. It focuses them outward.
Okay, so if the children are by themselves, you focus them outward, and if there's a parent that you can teach, you help them go through the steps and focus on what that feeling really is.
Exactly, and the kids learn very quickly what to do, I mean, because they want the relief. And once they feel the relief, it's, you know, everybody's so much happier. It's also
absolutely
important for the parent not to be afraid of the anxiety. Anxiety is just an emotion. It seems like it lasts a long time when you're in it, but it always stops. It always has an end. And it's important to tell your child, this is going to end. In a few minutes, you're going to feel better. That in itself brings the anxiety down, and it does lower it almost completely at the beginning.
And just to know that somebody else in the family notices you and you're not alone.
Absolutely, you are so on target. To know you're not alone is really a very, very big deal. Because when you're, I've had kids who tell me they're in class and they start to have a panic attack, and they're lost. They can't tell the teacher, I'm having a panic attack. They feel embarrassed. But if they know that it's going to slowly disappear, and if they breathe slowly, they'll be able to start to control it. They're so much better off. So sometimes you really are alone when it happens. And it's best if the teacher is advised, if it's the kind of teacher who would be compassionate, and certainly the parent.
Wow. Yeah. So do you teach teachers as well as families?
Yes. I've taught at New York University and the Society for Psychoanalytic Study and Research and at Long Island University. And I enjoy teaching. I find that what I'm teaching them is what I'm teaching the parents, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm teaching them how to listen to their prospective patients. You have to really learn how to listen. It's very tempting to jump in and give advice and try to give a solution really fast, and that only makes somebody nervous. It's important to be a sounding board first. And slowly open up to what's on their mind and not interfere with what they're saying. Let them finish what they're saying. Mm-hmm. As parents, it makes us anxious, so we want to jump in. But it really works better to slow down the whole process.
And with this process, it really, there is quiet time. You have to be comfortable with quiet spots.
Yes, exactly. You do. That's a very good point. You have to be aware that it's okay to be quiet. It's okay not to answer, just to have some space together so the person knows they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tremendously. You're right.
When you see families begin to practice this, do you follow them along for like 3 months, 6 months to help them get it really under their belt so it's not something that they just, a weekend class and they forget it again?
No. I work continuously with them. And the kids really start to understand what's going on. Like, I had this one little boy who was adorable. I saw him for about a year and a half, and he said to his father one morning, he was well along, his therapy was ending, and he says to his father, I know I acted really angry at you, but I'm not angry. I'm really anxious about something. I'll tell you after school. It'll be all right, Dad. And he left. So he was very aware that he and his dad would sit down and talk about it. He calmed himself down, which is the ultimate goal, and off he went to school, and when he came back, they talked about it. So that's a great example. I love that kid. It was wonderful to see.
And how old was that child?
He was nine.
Nine. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The relationships that he'll build on that kind of foundation would be amazing.
Yes, that's another very good point. The parent-child relationship improves tremendously because the parent is showing they're not afraid of their child's feelings, so the child doesn't have to be afraid, and they trust each other. And that goes a long way when you're anxious to know you have somebody you can trust to tell.
Fantastic. So where can we get this book? Have you got it in bookstores across the nation now, or...?
It's in bookstores all over the place. Amazon certainly carries it, Barnes & Noble. The publisher, Familius, is another way to get it. If you go on my website, you can click on to the books and see easily how to get it. I can give you my website if you'd like.
Sure, you could give us your website. That'd be great.
Okay. It's very easy. It's just my name, Laurie Holman, PhD.com. It's Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E. Holman, H-O-L-L-M-A-N, PhD.com. And if you go on the website, you'll see many, many articles about anxiety that you can read and click on to assuage your fears.
Okay. Laurie, can we just go through those five steps again and just have you go through them and just help people, if they haven't written them down, just to write them down?
Sure. The first is stepping back, which means that you do actively nothing. You're just thinking and observing, and you're considering, is there a pattern? What have I seen before? So you're really thinking for yourself. It may be a few minutes. It may be 15 minutes. But you step back and you pause. That's most important. The second step is self-reflecting. This is where the parents, a little hard for new parents, to think about how they feel when they see their child anxious. Because if they can get a handle on how they feel, they won't transmit their own anxiety to the child and make them more anxious. So you think about how you feel. If you had an anxious parent yourself, it may make you start to recall that, and you have to put yourself in the present, not in the past, and let yourself know, I'm the parent now, I can help my son or daughter control the anxiety. The third step is really the crux of the matter. It's understanding your child's mind. And this is where you ask them, you know, how are you feeling? What's going on? And kids are so appreciative that you're willing to listen and not interrupt them and let them talk as long as they need to. Teenagers feel very respected, and they really share a lot more than you would imagine as this relationship builds. And then the fourth step, which almost is really happening at the same time, is understanding your child's development. Like with the Lydia case, she was really too young to be thinking about college. So developmentally, she was pushing herself way off base and making herself anxious. So you want to consider what's reasonable to expect of a child's development, not based on their age, but based on their developmental growth. Because you could have a child who's 10, two 10-year-olds, and one is very empathic and easily follows all this. Another is very concrete and has trouble understanding. So it's not really the age, it's more of the developmental stage. And then the last step is problem solving, which happens naturally. By the time you're at problem solving, you really have probably solved a problem. You found out what is behind the anxiety. In the Lydia case, it was social anxiety and fear of the future. But you need to learn what that is, what's underlying the anxiety, so you actually know what you're dealing with. You can't deal with a problem unless you understand.
I lost her. Lori?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, we lost you for a sec. Those are fantastic points. And just I want to thank you for being on the show today. And I want to thank you for all the wonderful work you're doing to help heal relationships and people. So thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me so more people can learn how to relax and love the kids and enjoy them. That's what I want for people.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Lori Holman, thank you so much. We'll be right back after this break.